Reading this morning is Genesis chapter 40. That's page 44 in the church Bibles. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why are your faces so sad today?" "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, "In my dream I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup and put the cup in his hand." "This is what it means," Joseph said to him. "The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison, for I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon." When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, "I too had a dream. On my head were 3 baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head." "This is what it means," Joseph said. "The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat away your flesh." Now the 3rd day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all of his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Let us pray. Lord, let us take your word into our hearts and do your will. Amen. So here we have someone treated unjustly to the extent that they've been captured and imprisoned on unfair allegations that are pretty much a sham because they've upset people in high places. I am, of course, talking about Joseph, but with a situation like that, I could be speaking about Paul, I could be speaking about Jesus, I could be speaking about many places within the Bible. It's a very common story. This one, however, is particularly telling, very telling, because it tells us a lot about what God is like, it tells us a lot about what we are like in response to him, it tells us a lot about what we may face, and how we need to think about how we respond to what we do face. This is far from the only location in the Bible where we hear stories and guidance on those topics. But the way it's done here is particularly unique. So we meet Joseph at a slight low point, thrown in prison, wrongly of course. It's not been terribly fun for him, nor is the situation something he's going to be smiling about, thrown in prison on accusations of such magnitude that he'd be ruined. This coming off the back of the whole being sold into slavery business that his brothers had set about a few chapters earlier. However, Joseph soon has company in the slammer, verses 1 to 3. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The cupbearer and the baker, two very high-ranking officials, people trusted with preparing food and drink at a time when plots would often involve poison. They were high-ranking, meaning that they've fallen from grace and hit the floor with quite the thud. We don't know what for, just that Pharaoh had been offended by them, and he was not exactly known for being a very just man. Joseph has fallen a similar distance, but with the gifts of the Lord behind him, he still remains somewhat jovial. Verses 6 and 7. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" Even in amongst all of this, Joseph is still embodying the call the Lord puts on every one of us to care for our neighbour. And in this case, his neighbours being the cupbearer and the baker, they have two rather unique problems. Verse 8. "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Communicating via dreams is something that is another common theme, a common way of God bringing his word out to his people. Prior to Joseph, there were the accounts of Abimelech, Jacob, and Laban in Genesis alone. We had the Midianites in Judges, Solomon in 1 Kings, the other Joseph at the start of Matthew's Gospel, Pontius Pilate's wife at the end of it, to name but a few. And often the dreams carry significant messages, significant displays of God's plan. No exception here, as we shall see. So to these dreams, starting with Mr. Cupbearer, verses 9 to 11. "So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, 'In my dream, I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup and put the cup in his hand.' Joseph duly interprets then, 'Good news!'" Well, for the cupbearer at least. Verses 12 to 13. "This is what it means," Joseph said to him. "The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hands, just as you used to when you were his cupbearer." Yay for him. And not wanting to miss out, the baker overhears and starts thinking, "Ooh, that sounded good. I might be in with a shout here." So verses 16 to 17. "When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, 'I too had a dream. On my head were 3 baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head.' Joseph duly interprets and, not so good news. Verses 18 to 19. "This is what it means," Joseph said. "The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body on a pole, and the birds will cut away your flesh." Just a hunch, but I don't think he was as happy as the cupbearer at what had been told to him. Let's stand and compare the two of them for a moment. For the cupbearer, all of his glory is coming back. He's being restored. He'll be out of prison before too long. Things will be back to normal. Whereas the baker, well, the only time he'll see outside is en route to a brutal execution. Verses 20 to 22. Now the third day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all of his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to him in his interpretation. Prophecy duly fulfilled. But note the two dreams themselves and what resulted. The interpretations, both sides. One dream, one of restoration. The other dream, one of death. In this case, from the arbitrary decisions of a despotic tyrant. He decides on restoration or death based on what's offended him, his own feelings, his own whims. In terms of that split between restoration or death, we too have a similar route before us. To be restored or to face death, something from which we cannot save ourselves. But it is not based on an arbitrary yes or no from a tyrant. It is based on love and care for us higher than we can ever imagine. Jesus. We need Jesus for that restoration. None of Pharaoh's grandstanding, none of Pharaoh's despotism, none of Pharaoh's arbitrariness. Instead, we have unending, unconditional love for us. He did everything on the cross for us. His death and resurrection restores us straight from our sinful nature to glory with God. Restoration to perfection. The cupbearer only got his old job back. God loves us. He wants to see us restored. Accepting the grace of Jesus Christ is the only route to that restoration. But wherever you may be on your Christian journey, whether it's you're at a starting point or you've been on a journey for years, there's something rather important that the cupbearer can also teach us. There's an important part of Joseph's reaction just after he'd interpreted the cupbearer's dream, verses 14 and 15. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews. And even here, I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon. Joseph has given him this note of restoration, this good news. He wants to be remembered. But what happens after the cupbearer is restored? Verse 23. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Oh dear. A badly timed case of amnesia, perhaps, or maybe things have got a smidge busy. To be restored fully, such a great favour done, and it's forgotten completely. Does this sound familiar? It does to me. It sounds like me, something I've done before. Jesus has got rid of our sins. Is he remembered in our world? Do you remember him in all times? I'd say the answer to both of these is no, especially the latter. There have been times where I've been going along about my day and suddenly, oh, hello, Lord, it's you. There you are. I'd forgotten you were there. How things? It's easily done. We come to God when things aren't quite right, when things have gone wrong, or when life itself is just all over the place. And we set about with fervent prayer and frantic pleading. And he sets our path straight, provides us with what we need in abundance, restores us, and things are okay again. And then we potter along, forgetting he's there. It's so easily done. Then the cycle repeats itself. It all goes wrong, cue frantic prayers, restored, everything's fine. And away we go again. He will always be there to deal with us cupbearers. But unlike Joseph, who merely wanted a favour from him, God wants us to remember him so he can love us, care for us, guide our lives. We have access to the loving, all-powerful God of the universe to guide us in this fallen and flawed world, in times good and bad. It doesn't matter how well things may be going for you, this world is still a fallen one. Something will go wrong eventually, and you can't save yourself. You need God in good and bad. Something I've had to learn the hard way. O Lord, thou knowest how busy I must be this day. If I forget thee, do not forget me. A prayer made famous by one Jacob Astley, a general in the English Civil War, just before he led royalist troops into the Battle of Edge Hill. To say he would be busy that day is a slight understatement, but it's a prayer I have found useful some mornings. We're all busy. I'm not sure if anyone here has recently led troops into battle against a parliamentarian army, but we are all still busy. Admitting to God our forgetfulness of him is a big help. Make some time in the day, just a small bit, to read a bit of the Bible, maybe. A chapter, a psalm, a verse, say a prayer, maybe. Devotionals are something I find useful, and there's a multitude on the internet. Thank God in the good times. Lean on him during the bad. And praise him always, whatever is happening. Rejoice always, whatever is happening. It can be a real help. And be on the listen out for him. We've heard a story this morning of two dreams. Just one of the many ways that God has of communicating with us. Just don't forget to hear what he says. Let us pray. O Lord, thou knowest how busy we are each day. If we forget thee, do not thou forget us.